We are privileged this morning to have our work and witness team give their report from their recent trip to Honduras. They left the last day of January for about 8 days and came back late on a Sunday night. And we've heard little bits and pieces, but we'd like for them to share, as it's good to be connected to those that go wherever they're at and serving the Lord. God calls every single one of us to be a missionary right where we're at, and gives us the same calling as those that go far places away, and those that serve those in their community and in their workplace and their school. And so we're just privileged this morning to hear from some folks that went to Honduras in the ministry of the church. And so, Snook, come. Snook is our work and witness leader, and he and others are going to share this morning.
Good morning. We're really excited to bring this report to you. It was a really awesome trip, and we had so many new people come along this time, I think 7 or 8, and out of all the people that went, only 3 of us had been to Honduras before, so it was really exciting, and I want you to hear their testimonies, because it's really, really great to hear what they have to say. So we're going to hear some testimonies.
It was a real privilege to visit Honduras. This was my first time to be out of a country like that. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus tells us to go to all nations to make disciples and teach them. All my life, I've heard missionaries speak and show pictures of their ministries, so I enjoyed seeing what missionaries experience for myself. Before I left, I had some preconceived ideas of what I would see. I expected to meet ignorant, dirty, smelly natives dressed in rags. Instead, I met intelligent, clean, well-dressed Christians who were very friendly. Also, I thought I would find dirty rooms with bugs. All the rooms I saw were clean, and I saw no bugs except for one spider, which was outside. Honduras has many wonderful things to experience. It is a beautiful country of valleys surrounded by mountains, which are much higher than ours. The houses are small and mostly made of cement blocks. Some are brightly painted. As we traveled, we would see unusual sights, such as cows being driven down the road, chickens foraging for food, and clothes drying on fences. Also, the coffee plants, palm trees, and other native vegetation were lovely to see. Trying to communicate with people who could not speak English was challenging. It was rewarding when I could use the few Spanish words I knew and find that they understood me. On the other hand, it was also humorous and sometimes embarrassing when I would say the wrong things and make them laugh, but they were always kind and helpful. Also, the food was delicious. I especially enjoyed the fresh pineapple juice, orange juice, and watermelon juice. Their worship services were inspiring. They were well attended, even though the people had to walk or ride packed in the back of a pickup truck. I was impressed at the number of participants in the services, in both the music and the speaking. The people were very enthusiastic in singing and clapping as they worshiped God from their hearts. Furthermore, they listened attentively and made verbal responses as the minister spoke. The people were friendly and excited to have us visit their services. In a youth service that we were privileged to attend, it was so powerful when the young people laid their hands on us and prayed for us. God's presence was so real in their worship. Besides working building the church, some of us were privileged to participate in a program for children at 3 different locations. One of the programs was at a church located at a city dump with around 120 children, women, and a few men. It was a touching experience to see so many people who had walked over steep, rough roads to learn about Jesus. Thank you for making the backpacks, buying the school supplies, and making the cards. The children were excited to get the supplies and also to receive pictures of themselves. Also, thank you, Sarah, for using your knowledge of Spanish to lead the programs as well as to translate for us. Thank you for the opportunity to travel with Christian brothers and sisters and to be a missionary for a week.
These pictures tell a story, don't they? take note of that picture right there. I want to come back to that one. I think the hardest part is trying to condense this into 2 or 3 minutes, what all went on in our hearts and in our lives during this time. For me, it was a dream come true. I was 4 years old, and I distinctly remember the Lord placing a very deep seed in my heart for missions, and it's never worked out for me to be able to go on a trip. And I was just so, so humbled by the people that came alongside to make this possible for me to go. And I don't think any church has a pastor like our pastor. Him and Debbie were at our house every day helping with the kids, and my mom flew in from Idaho, and I was just so, so humbled and so, so grateful on so many levels to be able to go on this trip. Trying to think back, and I think I have a journal full of lessons that I've learned and been able to take home with me. But two that really stand out is that, first and foremost, God is calling a people from every nation, every language, every culture. He is raising up a generation for him. And that was so evident. The town that we went to was a hub. When talking to the directors, it was actually a hub for gangs and violence, and there was a lot of killings that would go on. And so the Church of the Nazarene went and targeted this area specifically, and they planted over 20 churches just in this one area where we built the church. And they were talking, I mean, they're ready to move on because the decrease in violence, the decrease in gang activity, things are still barred up and the windows are still barred and there's still guards with machine guns, but it's nothing compared to what it was, is what they were saying. And it was really, really exciting. The churches are so vibrant there, and just church plants continually. And it was really neat to see where the team has gone before and what your prayers have brought about. It was really, really powerful to be able to see that. And a few of you might respond like I did when we were flying in and we broke through the clouds and I saw the city of Tegucigalpa. And I started crying because I felt such a love for people I never knew in a place I'd never been. And I think that when God calls his people to pray for people in other countries, or in our church, our local church, when he calls us to pray for each other, there is a bond there and there's a connection. And I was really amazed. The team knows, and everybody in Honduras that I talk to knows, I do not speak Spanish. But it was so fun, and there was such a connection. Kids are kids everywhere, moms are moms everywhere, and there was just an immediate connection among these people and among believers. And every time we would go to a church, they would say, these are our brothers and sisters from North America, and we really did feel like family. And God is calling up a people all over that he's raising up, and it's really exciting to be a part of that. The second thing, I don't know if you remember the little girls that I pointed out when I first walked up, but the second thing that I really brought home was God is calling us wherever we are to be his witnesses and to spread his love. And the older of the two girls, maybe they'll come back around, but the mom was telling us that the baby, when she was pregnant, she found out that her baby had hydrocephalus, which is a water on the brain. She was not supposed to walk. She was not supposed to talk. She was not supposed to be functional like she is. And the mom very specifically prayed for healing for her, and she felt that the Lord really confirmed that healing and that she was calling her to, that she was telling her that this little girl was going to be mightily used of God in her life. And so she said, I tell that story everywhere I go to everyone I can. She said, people will not come to a church service to hear a good speaker like they will come when we talk about and we share God's miracles in our lives. And whatever God is doing in your life, I was really challenged to bring that home and to let that light shine in our daily lives to people around us, because I think she's spot on. People will respond and come to the Lord because of the miracles that they see God doing actively in our lives.
Well, this was my first mission trip. I've always wanted to go on one, and I never was able to before, so it was a real blessing to go. I took away a lot of pictures in my mind, and I don't think we really realize what a blessing we have in this country to walk about freely, to have the things we have, till you go somewhere else where they have so little, but they're so happy, and they're so spiritual. It was just amazing. There's so many differences. When we went into the country, it was like, oh, we were fingerprinted and photoed, and we had to walk. And it really took a while to get used to military people or guards all over the place with machine guns. That just blew my mind. We traveled from the capital to Dan Lee, which is where we did our work, and I'm glad I don't have to drive there, because, first of all, you have to avoid every pothole that there is, and there's people passing you on the left or the right, and in front of cars coming the other direction, and it's amazing that everybody, there's hardly any accidents, which I don't understand. Beautiful scenery. I was amazed at the houses. Most of the houses are very small, concrete with tin, and there's something we would consider here a shack, more or less. The people were absolutely so friendly. I had more hugs in a week than I've had probably in the last year. It was really great to go as a team. We learned a lot about each other, and whether we were with the children or on the job site, we had sort of bonded together as a group, and it doesn't matter if you've never been at a construction site, which obviously was out of my comfort zone, there's work for you to do. No skill needed, just a willingness to work together. The church services were fantastic. You probably saw some pictures of a service that was in a living room of the pastor. That's the church that we helped to build. That will be their church. They've been waiting for a church for 4 years. And finally, they'll have their church with the Sunday school rooms up above. The children are thankful for everything. We take so much for granted. At the one place where someone referred to at the dump, we thought we were going to have 40, 50 kids, and we only had supplies for 40, 50 kids, and all of a sudden, over 125 people and people hanging out the windows. And so at the last minute, which we had to kind of improvise, we gave each child a coloring sheet of paper and two crayons. And they were so pleased just to get that. And when they were done at the end of the at the end of our time together, a couple of the kids wanted to turn their crayons back in so that somebody else could use them. That really touched my heart. It was fun seeing all the churches that had been built previously by Work and Witness teams, and seeing the medical clinic built in Mary Jarrett's honor. That was very, very touching. So little medical supplies, it just struck me that we have so much. We probably have more in our houses than they had in that clinic. I'm ready to go back sometime. One of the highlights of the time of the trip was at the youth service on Saturday night, and some of it was bilingual, but Sarah was great in translating too. They had all the youth get around all of us and pray for us. And the woman that led the service, she hugged me at the end and thanked me in English and said, I have to come back to Honduras. Your family's here. And around the world, it's just amazing. We're all bound together in love all worshiping the same God, and how awesome he is to do his work everywhere.
This was my first trip. I've been on some other building sites on to West Virginia and different things helping people, but first time out of the country. And it was an experience. They don't have near as much as we do, but they sure do take pride in what they have, and it was a good time. We met a lot of people, a lot of locals. We met a lot of different pastors. Each church we visited, we went to 4 different services, and each service we went to, it wasn't the pastor that spoke. They were bringing up laymen in the church and different leaders, too, to help speak. So they really emphasized their learning of the congregation, learning and teaching each other and growing. So it was very good services we attended. You'd sense the Holy Spirit. The building went very good. The main project was getting the foundation of the inside the church leveled, and then getting it ready for the second floor, which they'll use the roof temporarily. One thing I took back from the service or from the trip was just we don't have to work and emphasize our whole life on retirement and getting as much as we can take with us. It's just live day to day and help others and be a good witness for God as we're here. But it was a good trip. Everything went well. Nobody was hurt. So we all came back.
I want to thank you for the prayers and support. I was just trying to do the math. Nearly every year that we go on one of these trips, we're raising for Honduras, we're raising about $200,000 out of this church to go build their church. Because it's 20-1, our 10,000 becomes their 20,000, our 200,000. And I thought about that, I thought, wow, we take our resources and the Lord multiplies them in Honduras. And you see this working with the cement and stuff. They spent a whole day putting cement 4 inches thick on the top of that church, as Caleb was saying, to become the temporary roof, but to become the bottom, the floor for the second floor. And the labor cost for that day, I think, was $65. And that was 12 or 13 guys that they had outside also helping our group because of all the cement work, lifting it up there. So your resources, your prayer, the backpacks, as Darla mentioned, that every person has a role in that, and your prayer, we had a lot of prayer support this time, and that was really, we're all involved in that process, and if we don't, as Pastor has mentioned before, the rocks will cry out. If we don't do our part, if we don't give our testimony, if we don't use the talents God has given us and don't bury them, it has a lot of yield, and just thank you for the opportunity to pray for us and that we could go down there. And I have been there before. My wife had not, and as Snook mentioned, a number of people hadn't gone. That was really neat to watch, and it helps our family here at this church. But and as Crystal mentioned, they call you brothers and sisters, and I know some have been out here. I was looking around. They had some have gone to the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and you see all kinds of cultures praising in one area. It's what it's like down there at the time. You get that feeling of, wow, this is going to be like what heaven's like in a sense. And this is just one culture that's mixing with ours. But to have so many cultures standing there praising God and saying, my chains fell off, my heart is free. And it's just great to be a part of that. And if you have a chance, that would be great for you to go. And it's neat to see people step out of their comfort zone this time and go. Anyway, thank you very much.
as Jeff said, we are all a part of it. Everybody who bought a bar of soap to contribute, everybody who prayed, the congregation that supports each other in all the ways, we're all part of the missions. We are not the team. We are the team. When we went down, the first service that we went to, one of my initial memories was of a little boy. You had seen him with a guitar up there. And it was a church service at the pastor's house. That's the congregation whose church we were helping to build. The little boy was up front, and he looked around, and he said, "Muchos gringos." So he was a cutie. Then he serenaded us with a couple of songs. The thing that I really pulled out of this trip, though, was a few people that went who were new to this. They were way out of their comfort zone. And I thought, boy, that is a sermon in itself, to actually step out of our comfort zone to serve God. That very much impressed me, and I want to thank everybody who did that. Thanks.
Okay. I want to also thank everybody for all your prayer support that we had and the financial support for the team to be able to go. It was really neat. David had gone on quite a few trips, and he said to me, if you want to go, this is the one to go on, because he knew we weren't going to be staying way out in the mountain and all that sort of thing. And we're blessed to have a very nice place to stay, and it was neat, and it definitely was out of my comfort zone to go. Hannah and I both got the opportunity to go, and it was really neat. The one thing that really touched me, by about midweek after working at the job site, Hannah and Noel were both saying, "Boy, we're really going to miss Santiago." You'll see a little boy here in a lot of the pictures, a little yellow T-shirt. He came out every day after school, and he helped right in with all the men. And they really made a connection with this little fella. He was a lot of fun to have there. And, you know, like Tuesday, there he is. I wasn't feeling quite the connection that they were having. They were, "We're really going to miss him." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, it's a job. I'm here." And by Thursday afternoon, it was the last day we were going to be on the job site, and it was getting late, and we were going to get into the vans to go back to the place that we were staying. And I got in the van, and I had tears in my eyes. I thought, "I'm not going to see these people again." And it was just such a neat connection that in 4 days of being with those people on the job site, the people from Honduras, just such a connection that you made with those brothers and sisters in Christ to be there. It was really something to be able to work side by side with them. The Spanish language barrier, that was kind of comical at one point. The day that we were helping with the concrete, when they were laying the bricks, there would be one person from our team on the ground, one person halfway up the ladder, and one person up at the roof level laying the bricks. So the person on the ground was handing the bucket of cement halfway up the ladder, and so on it got to the top. And they didn't have big buckets, but concrete's heavy. And one of the men from Honduras, one of the local people, he was helping to mix the concrete, and he'd put two scoops in. I guess he figured I could lift two scoops. I mean, it's only two shovelfuls. And he'd load them in the bucket. I'm like, "Ugh." And I carried it over, and I tried to push it up the ladder. And I think it was to Sue that I said, "Boy, I wish I knew enough Spanish to ask him to not put quite so much in the bucket." And she said, "Well, tell him not to put so many scoops in." I said, "He's only putting in two. One's not worth carrying." So the next time I carried the bucket back out to him, I thought, "Well, I got to do something here. I can't do this all day." I said, "No mucho." And he figured out what on earth I meant. And then he put 1.5 scoops in. And we were both happy with that. Because, okay, we got it. You know, you can communicate. It's not easy, but you can get by. So just thank you to everybody. It was an awesome experience, and I look forward to going again sometime. It was really neat. So thank you.
Well, we need to break for a commercial now. You heard Linda say about going to the medical center. We did get a chance to go to the medical center, which was really kind of neat because we built that in 2009, and then last year, just down over the hill, about 2 miles, we built a church. So we got to see both them, and everybody got to see. I mean, we talk about it, but there it is, you know. But Jeff and Crystal, they were in there looking over the supplies, and they said, wow, man, there's like nothing here. And it was actually 8 months ago, last May, when we built this church, and we took $1,700 worth of medical supplies up to that medical center. And they've blown through it all, you know, and it's like, we need to do something about that. And so we just kind of want to not, well, they're going to take an offering tonight for the medical center for medical supplies, but if you can't make it tonight or you want to give some money later on, if you just put it in a blue and white envelope and mark it medical center, we'll make sure we get some supplies there. It's a worthy cause. We built the medical center. It's kind of senseless not to have medicine in it, you know what I mean? It's like Linda said, we have more in our houses than what they do in the whole medical center, and they do see about 2,200 people from 9 communities in that area, so it's important. So I'd just like to, if you'd remember that. So I do have one story I want to relate to, and it starts with, I've been trying to learn Spanish. I've been working real hard for about the last 3 or 4 years trying to learn Spanish. It's hard on my own. It's just like everybody else. We're so busy, and it's tough. It is. And anyway, I finally have gotten to the point where I can at least converse enough to pretty well keep me out of trouble. So the one day we went, when we went up to the medical center, it was Caleb and I and Alon, the contractor. And we were in a pickup going because we needed a pickup to go up in the mountains. And everybody else was in the van. It was just the 3 of us. So I started talking to Alon back and forth. Well, then finally I said, Alon, I said, when did Jesus come in your heart? And he said, 5 years ago. And then he went on to say, for 12 years, he was an alcoholic. He was a maniac when he was drunk. He was just a mess. He was into coke. He was into marijuana. And, you know, of course, I could understand all this, which I was really praising the Lord for, you know. Well, then he said, it's better since I've been going with God, with Jesus in my heart. And if there's anybody out there today that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, I would invite you to think about that story about Alon and about how it's better in his life. And there's countless other people in this world, including me, that know that it is better with Christ in your heart. And I would just pray that if you don't know him today, that you would seek and try to find, ask the pastor, ask anybody, just make it a point that you would know that Christ is in your heart, because that's the most important thing that we have going for us while we're on this earth. So at this time, we're going to have Sarah come and testify or give a testimony, and then she's going to sing for us. So,
good morning. There's a few more people in the second service than in the first. My name is Sarah Klein, and I did grow up in this church. I have my foundation here, and it is so good to see Mrs. Moss here today. If you don't know me, I am an Umble on my mom's side, so I am Patsy's granddaughter. I'm going to start with this. 10 years ago, I was a sophomore in college at Mount Vernon Nazarene University, and I went on a missions trip to Venezuela and South America, and my life was shook. I grew up here, and to go to South America and just have your world turned upside down was something to comprehend. And I went back my junior year and my senior year, and it was because of this church that I was able to go. So many people supported me financially and through prayer. And I knew during those times that I was supposed to do something with Latinos, with the Hispanic culture, but I didn't know what. After I graduated from Mount Vernon, I went to Kansas City, Missouri, to attend the Nazarene Theological Seminary. I only attended classes for 1 year. Nothing against seminary. It just wasn't for me. But I stayed in the city because I liked it, and I was really involved in a Spanish-speaking Nazarene congregation. And I worked at a bilingual preschool. And before I left that church, I was singing on the worship team. So I learned Spanish through immersion. And then after my time in Kansas City, I went to Amarillo, Texas, and I was a family pastor at the Nazarene church there. And then I was also the campus pastor for their Spanish congregation for a little while. And then I came back home about a year ago. And it's just been one of those times this past year of trying to figure out what's next. You know, I'm living in Union County, and it's different. You know, I'm used to the city. I'm used to more cultures and speaking Spanish. And so coming home in itself was a transition. It is good to be home. One of the good things about living here is that there's a lot of constant. A lot stays the same, which is good. But during this trip to Honduras, actually, it was my first Sunday back home, Snook comes up to me and says, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "Well, I didn't do anything." And he says, "I want you to go to Honduras." And I said, "Okay, well, maybe." I said, "I'm still looking for a job. I don't really know what I'm going to be doing at that time." He said, "Okay, well, think about it. You have time. Let us know." And it was like the day that they needed to order the tickets, they were calling me, "Sarah, are you going?" And I said, "Yes, I'm going." And like around that time, I had a job interview, and I got a job here, and they were able to let me go for that week on the trip. And during that time, I didn't expect God to really speak to me. I don't know why I thought that. I knew that I was going to be interpreting for the team, interpreting for the missionaries, church services. And it was during those church services that God spoke to me. And by Saturday night, I was a wreck. The first service, and this was not at one location. Someone asked me, "Oh, were you part of a revival service?" No, it was three different locations. The first one, what they shared about pleasing God and not man in your life and doing what God has called you to do and to share the gospel. The second service, they talked about callings in the church, or in the Bible, and how God used different individuals, Jeremiah, Abraham, everybody. And I really related to Jonah. God called Jonah to do something, and he was not obedient. And I definitely feel that I've got a calling in my life to go back down to Honduras. I don't know what that timeline looks like, but I know I'm supposed to go back. God doesn't give you an ability to speak Spanish, to relate to a culture, and then to not use it. And for the past year, I've told Jeff and Crystal Yant, I said, I'm here and I'm home and I'm happy, but I'm not content. I'm not content. And when I was down in Honduras, I was content. I made a promise to my grandma that I would return, so I came back when I was supposed to. And now I'm just trying to figure out what's next. I see Neil and Alice Shorman, and I know Kara told me before I left that you had, I believe, a prayer bracelet with my name on it, so I appreciate your prayers on that trip, and I just ask for your continued prayers as I follow God's will and where he leads me. If we're not obedient, we're not going to have blessings, and we're not going to be content. So many people say, "Oh, well, you can't do this because of this," or I even feel, "You can't do this, I can't do this because of this," or, "I can't go because I'm a single woman," and you know, if I'm not obedient, then I'm going to be miserable. But if I'm obedient, then God will open up those doors and bless me. So right now, Crystal and I and Becca are going to share a song. It's the Revelation song. I will sing it in Spanish, but the words will be in the screen on English. And if you want to sing along, feel free.